when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Internet Marketing.
I'm here with William Gadsby Pete of Literal Humans fame. Welcome back to the podcast, William.
Thank you very much for having me again, Scott.
We're going to be talking today about affordable Web3 marketing examples. And before we get into that, do you want to remind listeners a little bit about you and your role at Literal Humans?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm one of the co-founders and the chief strategy officer at Literal Humans. We are a content digital marketing agency, do a bit of everything, but we really sort of specialize in human-to-human content marketing. And so really pretty platform agnostic, you know, whether it's a social post, Web3 that we're going to discuss, or a blog. Web3 is something we've been working with a little bit with some of our clients, something we've sort of dipped our toe and actually taken a bit of a dive into recently. So that's why we wanted to talk about it today.
You have a few Web3 clients at the moment, is that correct?
Not on the active roster just this moment, but we have had in the past, yeah.
And are you able to tell me who they were or share who they were?
Yeah, so probably the most recent one was a platform called Sasaya. They are a sort of competitor to OnlyFans, built on blockchain, and it's probably a weird rabbit hole to go down for our listeners. But so it's really not liked by most of the sort of adult performance sort of industry. So Sasaya, using blockchain, basically offers content creators an alternative platform, and it democratizes the platform using blockchain, where basically the more you use it, the more tokens you get that give you a voting stake in the future product roadmap and any key decisions of the platform, thus essentially decentralizing and democratizing what has previously been a very unpleasant sort of content user experience.
But when did you start to even seek out Web3 clients or get involved? I think you used the phrase dip your toe. When did you start to dip your toe into the Web3 space as an agency?
Yeah, I think our very first sort of dipping of the toe came with a client of ours called Playbook. They're like Dropbox mixed with Pinterest. They're cloud storage platform specifically for designers. So you browse your files visually rather than the sort of like endless sort of folders within folders of Dropbox or Google Drive. And they're a very cool platform. They tend to sort of stay ahead of most trends, like, you know, as graphic designers tend to, because they often get asked to design for whatever the sort of like latest must-have thing is. And they did an NFT drop probably 2 years ago. That was maybe the very first experience as an agency of Web3, and it went really well. It generated a huge amount of new monthly active users for them, saw a huge amount of sort of trading and buzz generated online, and just, you know, really fitted well with their ethos. You know, they're a very visually led, design led brand. They created really cool NFTs. They also got a few of their sort of resident artists that use the platform and are sort of brand advocates to create unique NFTs. And it was just a very fun, nice, pleasant experience that was really unique and unlike anything I'd ever really seen. But so that was kind of our first experience as an agency. I had about 6 months prior to that launched a cryptocurrency with some friends as a bit of a like, yeah, why the hell not? So yeah, that was our very first sort of experience. And we're just like, you know what, this is like the exact opposite of everything we've heard from, you know, crypto world of it's all rug pulls and it's all nasty. It was just like, okay, there's a way for brands to genuinely use these platforms in a way that's just another tool of marketing that's nice and really builds community.
You mentioned your personal experience there 6 months before really the agency started to get involved. I'm really curious about that. So is that cryptocurrency something that's still going?
No, it was called Bingo, and it had a very cool concept. And I just liked the idea. So I was like, yeah, why not? I'll get involved in this. But basically, it was a cryptocurrency. And every time you bought some, you got in your unique transaction code. If it matched to that month's four letter and number code, you won all of this pot. So every time it was traded, there was a small burn fee, and that all went into this communal pot. So it's a really cool idea, and I was just fascinated by like the sort of mechanics and possibilities of this world. Although in classic sort of crypto fashion, it turned out one of the sort of 10 people I was doing it with had like previously launched another coin that had gone really well, and then bought up a bunch of the crypto and then sold a bunch of it and actually kind of screwed everyone else over, and it turned into a bit of a Machiavellian knife fest.
Right.
So that was kind of my first experience where I was like, oh, this world is interesting but probably has quite a lot of room to grow before it's a real serious tool for marketers.
I think we've reached a space, at least with NFTs. I know we talk about other Web3 marketing examples, but at least with NFTs today and maybe some crypto projects where that initial gold rush, those kind of stories that you're telling me now, they're starting to die out. And hopefully we're reaching that point where we're starting to see the real value. You know, some of the bad practices aren't happening as frequently. What do you think? How do you feel at the moment?
No, 100%. And I think everything in digital has this life cycle. People always forget how fucking terrible the internet was when it first launched and the dot-com crash. You know, people go in, all in, there's no regulation. No one has any idea how to spot a charlatan versus an actual, real brand doing something legitimate. And people get ripped off. And the very first people that flock to the platform are almost always criminals or some form of shady characters. I feel like we have absolutely had probably 4 or 5 years of that with crypto and NFTs, obviously some exceptions. And we are now starting to, certainly in the last 2 years, really see the adults in the room showing the true potential of the technology. You know, Nike is now generating billions of dollars every quarter through its use of NFTs and Web3. They've shown so much cool, genuine added value to their customers with Swoosh and with Nikeland, with all the cool stuff they've done. I do actually think it's quite probably like the next 3 years are actually probably the really exciting time for Web3, where we finally get sort of these standard practices, a feeling of security, and brands that are taking the platform on and using it in interesting ways to offer genuinely unique experiences rather than just doing rug pulls. I'm optimistic about it and think just like the first days of the first sort of days of Twitter or Facebook were a nightmare until they figured out how to regulate the platform, and the first days of the internet were a nightmare before they figured out how to regulate the platform. We've got past that the really bad bit, and now we're kind of into the fun, exciting part.
Do you find a similar experience to the one that I had where maybe now, because you do believe in this, because you do see the benefits, are you finding yourself having to convince other members of your team to overcome some of their skepticism because of all of those things that we just shared? Or have you got a general consensus in your team about this?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like right now, it's quite easy because if you genuinely understand Web3 and the platforms, it's a very quick answer for does this client qualify as a good idea to be on here. So it's quite easy just as a team where you're just like, well, no, of course not. Like that deep lore client we have is not ready for Decentraland or any of the stuff there. What I think this platform, what I think Web3 is interesting for is it tends to be our clients that are the most interesting and fun, who are down for experimentation on it and for having a go. And generally, like, you know, like I mentioned, a good example, but all of the good examples of Web3 marketing that have gone well are similar to all of the examples of Web2 marketing that have gone well. There's genuine creativity and storytelling at the heart of them. And then they've just used the platform and the sort of unique characteristics of the platform to amplify what is just good storytelling and marketing. So yeah, it's been pretty easy as an agency. You know, for Playbook, for example, they're fun, they're creative. They just launched a bunch of AI stuff. They're always down to experiment and get involved with Web3, and they're a very good fit for it. For some of our more traditional clients, you know, if we see the opportunities arise, you know, we'll certainly mention them to them and try and convince them. But in terms of our internal team, no, I think we have a very good understanding of what Web3 is and is not for, and when it's applicable to our clients at the moment.
And for anyone listening to this that maybe holds any skepticism, wants to start getting involved in particularly, I guess, blockchain, NFTs, crypto, is there any safe way that you would recommend people start to learn? And how did you learn?
That's a very good question. In terms of sort of safe in blockchain and crypto, like crypto, no, like crypto is stock trading. There is no safe way to do it. Like you can through wallets, through using the, like one of the sort of four or five major wallets, reading up on like really what are the sort of like 20 or 30 stable coins, you know, you can have more, you're having more of an experience as if you're at a stock market where you are making bets on buying and selling and trading. But it is ultimately gambling. Like, you know, that is what the stock market is. It's legitimized gambling. So that always has to be front of mind. And my recommendation for getting to understand and experience these platforms is always just like, okay, assign an amount of money you can genuinely afford to lose and view this as a fun, interesting thing you're doing to understand the world. Buy a couple of NFTs, you know, do a bit of trading, but, you know, see it as essentially a casino, because that is what it is. And even the stable coins, as we've seen, like Ethereum and Bitcoin, have had some pretty ropey times. So it, you know, and it really is very analogous to the stock market of like, and that's true of all companies. You know, it's like, oh, I can invest in Wells Fargo. Oh shit, they released a quarterly report and they've lost 5 points on their stock. Like, I've lost money. So that would be my advice there. The other one is like, there are a lot of good Discord servers out there, Telegram groups, communities that you can join, subreddits in particular, where you can learn a lot of the lingo, learn a lot of the sort of culture. It's a little bit like gaming in that some people are very hostile to quote unquote noobs. And there are actually quite a lot of warm, welcoming communities where people will kind of hold your hand, explain how things work, and have written out really comprehensive guides. Yes, especially on the major trading platforms like Binance and stuff, they have really comprehensive, how do we get you from having no idea what any of this means to trading on our platform sort of tutorials and guides. Those are the major places. I mean, it's sort of almost similar to any other market. Find the five or six folk that have been around from day one, are very well trusted and peer reviewed, and then read up on all their stuff, join their communities, engage with other folk in the space.
Are there any particular creators or platforms or resources that come to mind that were just especially useful for you?
So I, like, mine was probably mainly through Discord servers. Yeah. And they're all called, you know, called similar things like Diamond Hands or Crypto Bros or whatever it might be. Yeah. Influencers, I've always, like, I there are other folk that have sort of four or five that they really swear by. I've always found them a little bullshitty because, like, you know, if they're truly have this market insight into crypto and trading, they wouldn't need to create a personal brand as a content creator because they'd be very, very rich. That said, there are some folk out there who've made a ton of money from it, and you know, they're probably going to give you a better starting point than just going as a pure novice. I've not yeah, I don't love any of them. I've found the most sort of value from, yeah, Discord subreddits, like r/crypto, like r/crypto or something. The main crypto subreddit is a gold mine. And if you're really looking to like sort of the wild, wild west of stuff, there's one called forward slash moonshots and / shitcoins. That's far more like, this is the stuff that I'm like, it's literally called like meme coin or whatever, and like it's a bit of a laugh, and no one really thinks it's ever going to be valuable, but it's all, you can learn a lot from those communities because they tend to be the sort of diehard enthusiasts, and every now and again 20,000 people will invest in the same coin, and like literally within a day your $10 will turn into a grand, and you're like, how has this happened? So yeah, I've no influencers, but in terms of Discord servers, communities, find those true online communities of like hardcore nerds. Also, one caveat to that is, within those communities, accept that a lot of people are going to try and sell you shit, and ignore those people. Look for the folk that are genuinely just giving you advice and sort of free education and free resources.
I was thinking, as I asked you the question, I was thinking, how did I learn as well? So there are three things that come to mind for me that I guess you haven't mentioned that are quite specific that I think are worth sharing. So the first is Udemy, and I guess all the other course platforms have these, but I'm typically a person that I will try and find my way first and then bring it all together in some kind of course. So I tried my way first, and then I went to Udemy for some kind of more advanced learning. And there are, I haven't even looked recently, but I imagine there are plenty of, you know, introduction to blockchain or introduction to NFT type courses on Udemy. So that might not be a bad place to look. The second thing that came to mind for me was Coinbase. Originally, a few years back, they didn't have this, but they've started to build out quite a lot of tutorial content on crypto. And I found that useful from time to time to learn about different coins and what their pros and cons and benefits and features are. So that's been useful. And one that's maybe a bit more polarizing is Gary Vee. So for me, I actually attended a lot, maybe when V Friends first came out, maybe 2-3 years ago, whenever that was, just their team talking through the process of setting up things like wallets and how it all works and how to release NFT projects. Now, of course, they were doing that for their own benefit to get people bought into the process, but there was a hell of a lot of good education shared. And actually, it really helped me learn the process and the mechanics of NFTs, and also open my eyes to the opportunities. And I imagine a lot of that content still exists on their site and their YouTube channels as well.
Just doubling down on what you said. Coinbase has a very good learn section of its website, and Binance has a Binance Academy, very similar to like the Google Ads Academy that we've probably all know and love. Gary fucking Vee. I'm not sure anyone's presence in the NFT market is good or bad. I think Gary Vee is one of the all-time greatest personal brand builders in the world, and if he's on NFTs and as he has shown you how you can create an incredibly incredibly committed and dedicated fan base and community, all centralized one around one figure, and it's all through like NFTs and crypto. I think it's a sort of like marker of how you can do it well, even if I take everything in with that man says and his community with a pinch of salt. There's no denying the success and how much money it's made him. So I think it's maybe not a net positive for NFTs all around the world, but it's certainly a net positive for like, this is what you can do with it if you do it smart and you do it well.
So we've talked so far about Web3, mainly in context of NFTs and crypto, but what's your definition of Web3? What else does that encompass?
That is a very good question. And I'm sure we'll get people to disagree with it. So there's almost two versions of Web3. There's like what the press has come to think of as Web3, which is basically just like anything that's a little bit more 3D and interactive. The slightly more 3D and interactive version of the internet. Then there's kind of like the mid-2000s Web3, which was very much focused on like things had to be built on blockchain. There was promising this sort of like utopian future where we escape Web 2, which is very much built around not the user being the sort of focus. Like, quite frankly, Web 2 is sort of like fuck the user. We're trying to get as many sort of like units of data through this website to then market to them. Web3 was sort of promises this world where like no one would have access to your data unless you specifically accepted that and offered it. No one could really own any of these platforms. They'd all be built through DAOs, decentralized autonomous organizations, which are essentially like how you get 100 people to work together as if they're a company without anyone actually owning the finished product through smart contracts. And I think that version of Web3 probably isn't going to happen, as sad as that is to say. This sort of relatively like anarchic, rebellious sort of like vision probably isn't gonna get there. Like, you know, and I think we'll almost maybe see sort of two versions of Web3, the kind of like the more corporate and mainstream version, and then kind of like almost like the dark web of Web3. One of the biggest players in metaverse is Facebook. They have pretty vested interest in being able to buy and sell and track your data. They are not building Horizon Worlds so that they can not access anyone's data. They've sort of dabbled in tokens and coins and shit, but like it's all pretty like, you know, paying lip service to the culture. And similarly, like, you know, what like some of the most successful sort of, and again, this is a debate whether or not it's a Web3 marketing activation or not, but I'd say it is. You know, some of the biggest ones of those have happened in like Fortnite. Again, very much centralized servers. All your data is being tracked. It is a Web2 platform that offers a 3D virtual environment that is a metaverse. But, you know, is that Web3? Is it not? Most press would tell you, yeah, Fortnite is absolutely Web3. Most purists would go, if it's not built on blockchain, then, you know, it's not. So it's that's a really complicated answer to a very simple question. But I'd say it's a bit of a, I think where we are right now is similar to the early stages of the internet, where everything was the internet. Like, you know, servers were the internet, search platforms were the internet, email was the internet, forums were the internet. And what we'll find is actually it's sort of 100 interrelated and actually kind of competing platforms that all make up an ecosystem, and that some of them will be built on blockchain and some of them won't. For some people, the Apple Vision Pro is Web3. It's like, is it? Like, it's just a fancy Zoom call. I think that we will still take another sort of 4 or 5 years for people to really settle on exactly what Web3 is and is not. Because a lot of the previous tenants in the mid 2010s have not come to pass.
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying there, is that the maybe the technical purists are considering Web3 to just be something that's built on blockchain at the moment. And the more accepted view or evolving view of Web3 from the general public is anything that's more than 2D. Is that fair?
Yeah. And like, you know, I think, you know, for some focus, like, well, if it's not got NFTs or blockchain, it's not Web3. But then, you know, you have a lot of the people making the most money out of this that aren't using or exclusively using those platforms. I think it just remains to be seen what we accept and don't accept. Right now, I'd say, generally sort of like anything with NFTs and blockchain is probably far more Web3. Like virtual reality and AR experiences tend to get lumped in with Web3, but I wouldn't call them like classic Web3, because, you know, like a Snapchat filter is an AR, an augmented reality tool. It's hosted by a massive social media corporation that absolutely wants to buy and sell your data. It's not this decentralized place that gives you more freedom and anonymity as a user. I think there's a bit of a difference between sort of the public perception and maybe what really is what was meant to be the foundation of Web3.
Breaking down the affordability factor first, I think I know what your answer is going to be, but I'm guessing not all Web3 marketing has to be expensive.
No, absolutely. And I think it's always the same. People assume, because they don't know much about the platforms, it's incredibly expensive. Before jumping into some of those affordable market tactics, I think, the main thing is, if you are not good at traditional marketing, you are not going to be good at Web3 marketing. So it's sort of like, don't see it as like a shortcut to creativity. I think it's very affordable to actually advertise and run marketing strategies in Web3. Like there's a few sort of different plays, and I'll kind of maybe just quickly go through some of them in terms. So like first, NFT is very still a thing. You know, there's a bunch of brands showing that they can be used well. You know, what the difference is like in the true gold rush era, you'd just be like, oh, hey, here's like a hilarious NFT of a horse. And because the internet's a silly place, it would end up being worth $200,000 because loads of people trade on it. And it's like, what the hell? That's not happening anymore. And quite frankly, good. What is happening is you have these really interesting uses of NFTs to offer them almost as like brand loyalty cards. So like I said, Nike are a brilliant example of this. So are Dolce & Gabbana, where you sort of buy this NFT that is, you know, is as real as if you bought something in the real world because of how blockchain and NFTs work. Sorry, I should probably explain that for users. Like an NFT is basically just a thing that is hosted on multiple servers in a way that's encrypted so that no one can mess with it. So if you get sold it and can verify it on the chain that it's on, you know that it is as real as like holding a brick in your hand. So Dolce & Gabbana, obviously, I couldn't have chosen a worse example for affordable marketing. But they host these really like cool NFTs where you buy it, and as soon as you buy it, you get like a swag package sent to your physical address. You also get exclusive access to special events, both in the real world and virtually. You get exclusive access to future drops of NFTs and crypto. And you just get basically this whole bunch of cool VIP stuff. And there is no reason you can't offer that as any other brand. Like that's repeatable by the smallest brand through to the largest. And on platforms, with platforms like OpenSea, SuperRare, and Rarible, you now have these curated NFT marketplaces that also allow you to mint NFTs for really not much money. You literally Google how to mint an NFT, a bunch of stuff will come up. It's pretty easy process and it doesn't cost much money. So that's something brands could absolutely repeat, where you know you're offering this VIP loyalty card that turns about, you know, maybe £500 of physical product into something people are willing to pay £1,500,000 plus, £2,000 plus, because they get all this cool exclusive stuff. One of the other things that's very cool about NFTs is you can build into the sort of like law, the smart contract of that NFT, that anytime it's traded, you get a percentage of that cut. So Nike make hundreds of millions of dollars a month off the fact that people trade their NFTs to each other, because it gives them exclusive access to Nike events, gives them exclusive access to Nike merch. And again, obviously, that's a huge example from a massive transnational company. But it's very cool, the idea of, you know, you sell 1,000 of these NFTs that are actually brand loyalty cards, and then they get traded like maybe 5,000 times over the year, and you just make money off of those, your sort of most hardcore brand advocates trading their loyalty cards to each other because they're interested in the brand. So that's one that I really like. And I've seen a lot of smaller indie brands do very cool stuff with that. You know, you buy a physical product in our store, you immediately get an NFT, or, hey, we're going to do an exclusive airdrop of just 500 NFTs. And if you still hold them in 6 months' time, we'll send you an exclusive swag package to your physical address. So I think that's one immediate way that people can get into. And if you look at case studies on the internet, there's a ton of them from small to massive brands that have done that. You know, per your example earlier, Gary Vee is just a continuous and repeating set of NFTs that has earned him a huge amount of money.
And actually, on the Gary Vee front, thinking about the mechanism, like how to get started, it wasn't like amazing art. These were actually just drawings from Gary Vee that he uploaded as NFTs. So it was like the most basic starting point that you can think of, really.
100%. And that's the thing. People always think the artwork is like some incredible thing. It's like, if you have a design team that do your social media assets, they can 100% put together a cool NFT. And yeah, Gary V's were just like drawings of him. And that's the thing. He made it fun. He made it personal. He made it not this dull, boring crap where it felt like he's just trying to rip you off. And that's why it worked. Like, so yeah, that creativity element is so key. Like one of the most successful NFT case studies is from AB InBev. They partnered with Zedrun, where they had these NFT horses that when you bought them, you could breed them and then sell them on. So you had they kind of almost created this NFT that was basically like a Pokemon trading card. The prices for those started at $30, yeah? And they ended up being sold for $165,000. And it's all just because they came up with a cool mechanism that was built into the NFT that you could trade it with other people, and then like a new NFT would be born from your two horses, like, you know, mating and breeding. So yeah, creativity is key. So
have you invested in any NFT projects by like indie creators that you'd like to shout out?
None I can remember the name of. I've done a few gaming ones. Like I game a lot, and quite a lot of indie gaming studios will be like, oh, you know, buy this NFT and we'll give you like an exclusive in-game sort of item, or just cool thing or skin for your character. So I've done a few of those, but nothing from like the I never got into like the proper kind of artist sort of artistic side of things. But for folk who are interested in that, I'd recommend checking out Decentraland has a art gallery, and in it you can see the digital art of indie creators and artists that like submit it to get exhibited. And that's a really cool way to see just like an awesome set of like creators and just, you know, genuine artists that are, rather than holding, you know, having them in a stuffy art gallery in a physical location, are hosting them in Decentraland. So that's a very cool thing to get involved with if you are interested in the more sort of genuine artistic and creative side of NFTs.
And on the gaming side, as it's an area that you're interested in, I don't know too much about what's considered Web3 in the gaming world. So if you could elaborate, I know there's going to be, again, as we kind of discussed already, different opinions about what Web3 is. But from your view, some maybe Web3 gaming examples on what's happening in that space.
Yeah, I mean, that is a super interesting one, because like it kind of goes, I mean, for most gamers, what is Web3? Web3 is a metaverse. And it really goes to like what we were talking about earlier of like, okay, fine. But by that sort of like notion, gaming metaverses have been around almost as long as gaming has. Like it's a 3D virtual environment that you interact with an avatar. Like, you know, like I remember James Bond Goldeneye. Like, is that a metaverse? Like it's certainly, to most journalists, James Bond's Goldeneye is a metaverse. It's 3D. It's a closed environment. Like, you know, there's some multiplayer in it. I can interact with other people on it and socialize. So yeah.
And you make friends and you lose friends in Goldeneye as well.
I played that the other day on a retro gaming arcade, and it really brought back a lot of my childhood. But yeah, I think for most gamers, what they would say is like the thing that most gamers have as a prerequisite is they probably think a VR headset is part of a metaverse and part of Web3. And again, like, sorry, it's a classic marketer of it depends. It depends who you ask. I mean, like, you can access Minecraft, Fortnite, most of the Roblox, Decentraland, almost all of them can be accessed without a headset. You know, I think Horizon Worlds is the only one that like really tries to push you for VR. I don't know if it's purely VR or not. I can't remember. But, you know, like VR is there more to augment and uplift the experience rather than being the sole focus of it. But yeah, I mean, like, I'd say most gamers probably think of Fortnite as Web3. They probably think of Minecraft as Web3. They definitely think of Roblox and Decentraland as Web3. And I think most, even hardcore purists, would say those two are Web3 platforms. So yeah, it's a bit of a sort of like, how much do they actually know about blockchain and crypto, the systems underpinning the worlds that they're playing with?
Are there any of those examples of either games or development companies that you think do a particularly good job of just in their marketing?
In terms of developers, I would say one of the best, not really developer, but AMD are very good ones to follow in terms of how they interact with gamers within the metaverses that they are sort of partaking in.
Is that a development company, AMD?
AMD are a hardware.
Oh, it's the processor company.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Graphics cards and stuff. They did a very cool activation, and this is very much not on the side of affordable marketing, but it's just very cool. They did an activation with Fortnite where they built four new maps that looked like the graphics cards and processors that they were releasing that year, and it also did a bunch of giveaways of computers within sort of like in-gaming sort of activations and events. On the more sort of affordable side of things, one of the best brands in the world to follow for how you reach gamers is Wendy's. Wendy's are incredible. Like, they just understand that, okay, cool, hardcore gamers are from the ages of like 12 to 25. They're mainly male. They're predominantly American. That is exactly who we sell Wendy's burgers to. And they have some of the best sort of marketing campaigns that have happened, and social media campaigns as well, come from Wendy's. They did a very good activation in Fortnite where they created an avatar that looked just like the Wendy's mascot and had them run around smashing up freezers because their tagline is never frozen, always fresh. And it got millions and millions and millions of views because every sort of influencer, gaming influencer, tried to find the Wendy's mascot while they were playing Fortnite, like hoping they'd be on a stream where they were at. And it became this huge event that trended on Twitter. It trended on multiple social platforms. And that's just like literally one person from Wendy's with a PlayStation accessing Fortnite and, you know, having a bit of fun. So, it's, you know, again, as you're saying, like, if you come up with a good concept, a concept that's good enough, you really don't need that much budget.
I understand the concept of Web3 events in context of the blockchain or NFTs. So getting an exclusive ticket, maybe via an NFT that allows you to access an event. But I'm totally out of touch when it comes to accessing events in VR or even experiencing events in AR. I'm assuming that there's a whole world of that happening that I'm just not aware of. Do you spend any time in that space?
No, 100%. And I actually think this will be what, and again, don't know whether you classify this Web3 in the metaverse or not, depends on your personal preferences. I actually think this is what will make it mainstream. So almost every major sports team in the world is building some form of virtual version of their stadium. The coolest one of this is probably the LA Rams. Huge NFL team, insane amount of money. They have built this, it's sort of both. It's an AR and VR experience. If you're at an LA Rams game, you can get out your phone, access their sort of like metaverse virtual version of the stadium, and you can interact with fans. You can see like that are across the other side of the stadium. You can see cool specific effects and like fireworks shows and like breakdowns of plays that are exclusively hosted within this metaverse that you can only access if you're really an LA Rams fan and have downloaded. But then on the flip side, if you're not at the game, you can access this AR /VR kind of experience, either using a headset or just on your phone, and you can watch the game live as if you're sitting in the stands whilst also seeing all of this cool stuff happening around you. So I think that will actually probably be what really brings metaverses into the mainstream, is like sports teams and music events, those things that really cut across lines of demographics, gender, age. Football fans are probably not who you'd think of as being on the metaverse, but if suddenly Man City are offering you 15 to 20 quid to get for a ticket to watch a live game that would otherwise have cost you £90 and sells out in 5 minutes anyway, that's where you're suddenly like, all right, cool, I'm gonna download this app and I'm gonna figure this out. So I think that is actually where like what will end up taking it into the mainstream, and we've seen with stuff like, you know, when Travis Scott hosts a live concert in Fortnite and it gets 54 million fans and he makes $20 million in a single day off of merch sales. It just shows you like that is so much more money that's more money than he'd make from an entire tour. And he did it in like 30 minutes on a virtual platform. So again, it just shows you the potential of like events within VR and AR spaces. Like that, I think, has already shown like millions and millions, and if not billions of dollars in revenue already, let alone the untapped potential.
all of those things that you just mentioned are true, but then the affordability of it as well. Like, I know there would have been planning, and getting Travis Scott into Fortnite wouldn't have been an easy thing to do. But when you consider the amount of revenue that it generated, the interest that it captured, and the equivalent of trying to do that through a offline tour, for example, or something else, there's just no comparison. So the ROI on it was probably pretty amazing.
And as well, that's actually, like, obviously the examples that grab the headlines are when Travis Scott or Ariana Grande do it. It's actually very, that's a very affordable marketing tactic that anyone can use. Decentraland, it doesn't cost much to buy land and build on it. It's not nothing. It'd be probably $10,000-$20,000. So, you know, it's not for all marketing budgets. But you could very much build within Decentraland a virtual version of your office, invite a bunch of people to come to a conference or a meeting or a concert at that virtual event, and just, you know, create essentially a virtual, you know, a more interactive webinar, a more interactive networking event, just a slightly more interesting version of something that you're actually very familiar with and have probably done 100 times before. That events in metaverses and the VR space very much fall into that incredibly affordable bracket, because there's a lot of places that have already built the infrastructure and you just have to like buy it or rent it.
I don't know much about, is it Decentraland?
Yes, Decentraland is sort of one of the big kind of four or five. It's this huge, it's hard to explain. It's kind of like a real estate platform, but basically it has all these parcels of land that it's sold over the years. Snoop Dogg's bought some, loads of people have bought them. And once you've bought them through the... very intelligently, LAND land token that is built on Ethereum, you now own that spot of that metaverse. Just in, like, there's no contestation of it. You own it as if you'd bought a house in, you know, London. It's built into the contracts of the platform that is now yours forever. So it's a place where a lot of people have bought and built really cool shit. Like, you can go to casinos there, you can go to hotels there, you can go to sporting events, you can go to music venues. And as well, what's really cool is a lot of people have bought land and then built stuff like that, and then you can rent it off them. So if you don't want to go hop full hog and build your own virtual office, there's 100% private meeting rooms that you can rent in Decentraland, just like you would rent them in a co-working space. Similarly, there's you could rent a music venue if you wanted to do a live concert with only like 1,000 people. So it's a good way of like dipping your toe into the event space without having to go like full hog and buy a bunch of land.
And I appreciate you won't have the exact figures, but you're saying that at the moment, this is a pretty affordable space to, so there's still land available if you're interested in this to go and grab it maybe.
Yeah. I mean, like it's up to the sort of like, you know, if you wanted a significant plot, it's in the tens of thousands of dollars. Yeah. So it's certainly not nothing, but the rental space is far more, you know, like maybe $500 to $1,000. Obviously it's all in, you pay for everything in cryptos or NFTs, or tokens. What's the platform token? I think it's called Mana. I can't remember, but there's a metaverse specific currency that you use to buy and sell. So you'll need a wallet, but yeah, to rent a space for a day or a week, like, you know, it's more in the hundreds to low thousands of dollars rather than the sort of tens.
Where do you get your information on Web3? So do you have a particular resource that you'd recommend to people to go and learn about, like, more examples of Web3? Of course, we can point people in the direction of Literal Humans and your site, but yeah, any other content out there or publications that you recommend people read?
No, 100%. I mean, all of the major crypto trading platforms that are sort of like respected and stable, like we already spoke about them, Binance, Coinbase, they have very good newsletters. They have very good social content. They just publish, you know, sort of 10 bits of content a week on every sort of facet of this world. And like we said, also have those very good sort of entry level courses for you to take if you're new and are totally starting out for the first time. There are also a bunch of other, like, you know, specific publications and newsletters, Dapp Radar, Web3 Weekly, CoinSnacks, and then publications like Hacker Noon, Cointelegraph, Be In Crypto, stuff like that. As with all things, like, you know, to have a look around, probably start with a quick Google, as we all do, and get a look and feel for things, and see which ones you sort of really resonate with. We publish a fair bit of over at Literary Humans, but like we're not a Web3 specific content marketing agency. So, it's sort of like two or three pieces a month rather than sort of two or three pieces a day.
Yeah, makes sense. And if people want to find you or Literal Humans, where can they find you?
Absolutely. So if they want to find Literal Humans, just literalhumans.com, literalhumans.com, I should pronounce that properly. At Literal Humans is our social handle on everything. And I'm William Gadsby P on all social platforms and on LinkedIn, which is the one I actually am primarily on since Twitter went under.
And will we see you somewhere in Decentraland? Are you anywhere there?
Nowhere that I'm willing to share. not going to dox myself live on podcast. If you're in Web3 and it's meant to be, I'll find you.
That's a great way to end. Okay, this has been the Internet Marketing Podcast. Take care.
Cheers, Scott.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.